The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Yes, it is Tuesday. We spend a little time with Congressman William Timmons each Tuesday for Tuesday with Timmons. And congratulations are in order for Congressman Timmons as he was named vice chair of the Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress. It was first created in 2019. We've talked with the congressman about this a number of times over the past couple of years. And but this is a big deal for Congressman Timmons to be recognized as a leader. There are six Republicans, six Democrats on this committee. So he is vice chair. And look, we wish him luck, because if there's one thing our Congress needs, that's to come into to modern times for sure. On the guest line, Congressman William Timmons, congratulations on that, by the way.
Good morning, Joey. Great to be with you. And thank you so much. The people of the 4th Congressional District sent me to Washington because my campaign slogan was Washington is broken. And so the fact that I get to lead the Republicans on the Select Committee for the modernization of Congress means a lot. Things are moving in the right direction. We issued 97 recommendations last year, and we're hoping to take another bite at the apple. So I'm really excited to get to work.
Yeah. Give us a couple examples of some of those recommendations that you guys gave to your colleagues.
Well, none are more appropriate than the budget and appropriations recommendations that we made last Congress. They have obviously not been adopted yet, but I am optimistic that we have enough like-minded people that we're gonna get the ball across the goal line this Congress, and I'm going to keep fighting for that. And really all that was, one thing was a two-year budget. You know, Congress hasn't passed an actual budget in regular order in, I think, 30 years. So, you know, it's beyond my comprehension that the United States government does not have a budget. So if we do one every 2 years, it gives us additional incentive to not have to have these difficult conversations as often. And it just makes a lot more sense. And additional transparency strength in the process. And right now it's all really leadership driven. Four people at the end of July generally agree on new spending caps, and then we knock our appropriations out after that. So it's just a really dysfunctional process. So if we can get regular order brought back into it, where all of the spending has to go through committees and whatnot, that's a huge step in the right direction.
All right, so speaking of the budget, let's talk about that for a minute. The Wall Street Journal calls this $1.9 trillion or so COVID relief plan that you guys are going to be discussing this week. Wall Street Journal says the non-COVID is a non-COVID spending blowout, and it gives example after example of these emergencies that actually aren't going to be spent this year. Some of them not even next year. Some of them it can take 4, 5, 6 years to spend. I mean, what is up with that?
Well, because of the narrow majority in the House and the Senate, the Democrats are using reconciliation, a process that only requires a majority vote in the Senate, to get across all of their priorities. So they're even trying to get the $15 minimum wage in this spending bill. So it's just, it's outrageous. And South Carolina stands to get billions of dollars, and Greenville County is actually the only local government that's going to get hundreds of millions of dollars. The Democrats even removed the fairness from that process. In the CARES Act, it was done based off population. And now they're doing it based off of unemployment to incentivize. It's a truly perverse incentive. It's going to incentivize places like California and New York that have just really draconian policies that have closed down their economy that have put all of these people out of work, they're going to get more money than South Carolina, who has stayed open. When really, South Carolina doesn't need any money. I mean, we really don't need any money. But if the federal government is going to be giving away hundreds of billions of dollars that we don't have and we're going to all have to pay back, South Carolina is going to have to pay back the portion of their money. And we're really just paying to keep New York and California closed, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Wow. They need to reopen their economy, and we need to all reopen our economies as quickly and safely as possible.
Right. Well, one of the examples cited in the Wall Street Journal editorial is schools. And we all want schools, you know, we want the kids back in school, but it references the almost $130 billion that would be tagged for schools, even though it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get the money whether they reopen or not. Shouldn't there be at least some type of criteria included that, you know, hey, you're going to get this if you reopen?
Absolutely. Spending money to make it easier to stay closed is the exact opposite of what the federal and state governments need to do. We need to provide additional resources to help schools reopen faster, to help businesses reopen faster. Putting more money in to make sure that teachers get the vaccine as quickly as possible, that's an easy thing I can support. But telling schools that they can stay closed until, you know, next summer, not this summer, next summer, which is one of the things a lot of these people are talking about in some of these more liberal progressive states, that's just crazy. The businesses that are struggling right now, and the children that are having this massively adverse impact on their education, they can't wait another 12, 18 months to reopen. And so I think it's fantastic that South Carolina is reopening, and Florida's open. You go to D.C., if you're a small business owner in D.C., you're never going to survive. It's over. And, in the same breath, we're talking about the $15 minimum wage that Amazon has advertisements for. It's really easy for Amazon to have $15 minimum wage when they have billions and billions of dollars. But if you're making, you know, $20,000-$30,000 in revenue a month, like most small businesses, if they're lucky, it just doesn't work. And it especially doesn't work in rural areas and, you know, less urban areas. I'm just blown away that this is the position they're taking. But Joey, as I've said all year, the good news is that the Republicans will be in the majority in 22 months? So, we just got to keep working and make sure that everyone knows the ridiculous policies that the left is pushing out, and then we'll be ready to go for the White House in 4.
Yeah. Well, and look, it can't come soon enough. Again, when you look at some of the specifics in this bill, and it's my understanding, Congressman, and let's just go back to the education part of that, the $130 billion or so. It's my understanding that most of the money that was in the first couple of rounds of relief still hasn't even been spent.
We have $1 trillion outstanding that has not been spent. $1 trillion.
Wow. Wow.
And this is what they're doing, and they're hoping to pass it in the next 2 weeks.
Wow. Congressman William Timmons, it's always good to check in with you. Again, congrats on that committee assignment, the being vice chair. We're proud of you. Thank you for what you're doing for us, and I look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Thank you, Joey. I appreciate it. Excited to get to work, and talk to you next week.
There you go. Congressman William Timmons, be safe.